lot of my life. I can understand that, sister, and we're lifting you up, that God's healing touch. He is greater. Amen? Well, good morning, everyone. I thank Pastor Kerry for asking me to share a message today, and I wanted to give him a little bit of a break, too, because he works hard, diligently, and we all need sometimes just to step back for a day, and this is one. So the topic that I'm going to talk about today, my message, is titled, Return to Me, One Nation Under God. And right now, we are experiencing something that is unprecedented in modern history, and that our president and the United States is rededicating today America back to God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a good message. So the opening scripture I'd like to share with you, and I want to give some disclosure. Some of the scriptures, I may not tell all of them in my voice, but you'll see the full scripture up there on each one of the slides as we go. Turn to the book of Malachi 3:7. Yet from the days of our fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what shall we return? Pastor Kerry, if you could go ahead and bless the message.
Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that, Lord, we could come together as a body of believers and to hear your word. Lord, your words are life, Lord. And we know that, Lord, it's by your word that we are born again of the Spirit. We pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we are born again of the Spirit, that we would also be nourished by your words, Lord. And I pray that you'd anoint Brother Terry as he shares your word this morning. May it strengthen and nourish us each and every one, Father. Help us to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. As I was thinking through this topic and the things that are going on around us, I couldn't help but recap a little bit of the historical significance and why God's word is so important to each and every one of us as citizens of the United States of America. America once declared itself to be one nation under God. Those words were not meant to be ceremonial. They were meant to recognize that without God's guidance, no nation can truly stand. Today, we live in a time of confusion, of division, of moral compromise, and spiritual decline. And on top of that, many have rejected the authority of God's word. Biblical truth is mocked. Prayer is pushed aside. And holiness is abandoned. Yet even now, the voice of God still calls out to his people, return to me, and I will return to you. This is not merely a message for ancient Israel. It's a message for America. It's a message for you and I, my friends, as the church. It's a message for every heart that has drifted away from God. Throughout Israel's history, the people repeatedly wandered from the Lord. They disobeyed his commandments. They followed idols. They trusted in worldly powers. And they forgot the God who delivered them. Yet every time they repented, God showed mercy. The same guy who called, and the same God who called Israel back is calling America back today. I believe that. God's mercy still calls us. If you turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Amen. His compassions fail not. God's mercy is the reason America still stands. I believe that. We have witnessed that moral decline, the violence, the corruption, the rebellion against truth, and the breakdown of the family unit, the most precious thing in God's sight. Yet God has not utterly removed his hand of mercy. Why? Because he's still calling people to repentance. He's calling you and I today to repentance. Throughout Scripture, God has warned us, before judgment falls. He warns us. Noah preached before the flood. Jonah warned Nineveh before the destruction. The prophets pleaded with Israel before captivity. God always provided an opportunity to return, and he's calling us today to return to him. Now let's go back to Israel. Israel's history of wandering, okay? Israel forgot God after blessing. After God delivered Israel from Egypt, parted the Red Sea, and provided manna from the heaven, the people still turned away. And in the book of Psalm 78:11, and they forgot his work and his wonders that he had shown them. Now I ask you a question. Have we forgotten what God has done for us as a body of believers? Have we drifted from him? Do we know others that were once of the faith but have fallen away? Blessing can sometimes produce what I call spiritual complacency. Now, Israel became comfortable and forgot their dependence upon God. America has been greatly blessed in so many ways. We've been blessed with freedom. We've been blessed with prosperity, religious liberty, abundance, and opportunity. Yet many have forgotten the source of those blessings. I want you to ask this question today. We celebrate success while we're neglecting the God who gave it to us. Israel also turned to idolatry. Why is that important for us to understand? Because America today has turned to idolatry. Again and again, Israel exchanged devotion to God for idols. We see it all the way through the Old Testament. They provoked him to jealousy. Look at Deuteronomy 32:16. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations that provoked him to anger. Do you think the same God yesterday is the same God today? If you do, look at what's going on. He will bring judgment. And it's important for us to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church right now. Amen? Modern America may not bow before golden calves, but idolatry still exists. Let me give you some examples of that. We idolize money. Finances, we do. It's our culture. We idolize entertainment, power, pleasure, self-idolization, political ideology, celebrity culture. You can go on and on and on. Anything we place above God becomes an idol. Right. Let me repeat that. Anything we place above God becomes an idol. God never intended it to be a part of our lives. He must be Lord over our lives. Here's the third thing that happened with Israel. Israel ignored God's word. The prophets warned Israel repeatedly, yet many refused to listen. But they mocked. Look at 2 Chronicles 36:16. But they mocked the messengers of God, they despised his words, and they scoffed at his prophets. Wow. Woe to Israel. Today, biblical truth is often rejected in favor of human opinion. Do you see that? I do. Society changes standards. It's kind of like the shell game. Try to find it. But God's word never changes. It's unchanging. The one rock that we have is that God is unchanging. He's the same God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. He's the same God over America. He's the same God over the entire world. He's unchanging. And that's important. Let's go to Matthew 24 for a minute. Matthew 24 in the New Testament, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. It's eternal. A nation cannot abandon truth and expect stability. Stop and think about that for a minute. We can't abandon the truth and think that God is just going to show us favor and is going to bless us. Oh, we pray for the blessings of our families and our friends and the nation and everything. But if we're ignoring God and we've abandoned the truth of His Word, how can we expect stability? We're going to have times of turmoil. And we do. And we see it. That's why so many hundreds of thousands of people right now are gathering, not only at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to rededicate it, but around the world and around the United States. There are groups of people today that are reclaiming, return to Him. Return to me, God is saying. Return to me. And we need that. The nation cannot abandon truth and expect stability. You just can't do it. God has a pattern. Repentance brings restoration. Okay? Well, why do you say that, Terry? Because it's in His Word. Let me give you some examples. Let's go to Nineveh. When Jonah preached judgment to Nineveh, the people humbled themselves and finally repented. Then God saw their works. Look at Jonah 3:10. Then God saw the works that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from disaster. He gave them mercy. The same God that did that is the same God today. Repentance does what? It changes things. It reverses the course. Revival is possible when people humble themselves before God. I often hear people, oh, we need a revival. We got to have a revival. We got to have a revival day. I'm here to tell you that without repentance, a revival will never take place. It starts with two people praying. It starts with yielding to God and understanding we can't do it through our human nature, but with Him we can do all things through God. So repentance is the first key thing. Well, let's look at the promise. There's a famous verse that we read often and it's quoted. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, so there's some prerequisites here, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. How often have we read that verse and really just pick and choose some of the things in there that sound good, but really understand the prerequisites? If my people who are called, that's you and I who are called by His name as followers of Jesus Christ, will humble themselves, in other words, get off your pride and humble yourselves before Him, and then to pray and seek His face, seek my face, and turn from the evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Repentance is the first step. We have to have it. Do you notice the order there again? Humble themselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from wickedness. Then guess what comes? Healing. That's when the healing starts. We always want the healing, don't we? We always want that restoration. But these requirements have to happen first. We have to humble ourselves. We need to pray. And we need to seek God's face. We need to get in our war rooms, our prayer war rooms, where it may be, in the church, on our knees. And we need to turn from wickedness. And then we can experience the healing through restoration. That's repentance. America does not merely need political solutions. America needs spiritual awakening. It needs a spiritual awakening, and we need to be revitalized and have a spiritual awakening. Well, what's America's spiritual condition? Well, let's talk about that. There was a time, not so many decades ago, and I do use the word decades now, churches were full. They were packed. Prayer was honored. It was a part of the public square. The Bible was respected. How many decades has it been since the Supreme Court removed the Bible from public schools? Look at what has happened. It used to be the Bible was respected. Families gathered around faith. That's what brought families together. Biblical morality shaped society. It used to be the moral compass. The Bible was your northbound compass. now it doesn't matter what you think. It matters who you think about, and are you right or are you wrong? Which side are you on? What tribe do you belong with? And this and this and this. I'm here to tell you, without God, nothing can happen.
Right.
We still need Him today. But what we're seeing right now is we're seeing confusion that's replacing truth. Maybe it's us. You know, maybe we're confused. Maybe we're trying to do something in our own lives, and it's not in God's will. And maybe we're not seeing it clearly. We need to yield to Him. We need to pray to Him. Confusion's replacing truth. Darkness is celebrated as light. What do you mean by that? Look around you. Look around you. Darkness is being celebrated as light. Biblical values are under attack from every part of society that you can think of. The newspapers today, depending on which one you looked at, would have said, America rededicates the nation to God. You read another one that had a radical view, it might be, America brings Christian nationalists for a gathering in Washington, D.C. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Division and hatred is increasing, right? We're seeing it. There's so much division. There's so much tension. That's why I love being in the house of God. We don't have the tension here. And we can focus as a body of believers. That's important. And I hate to say this, but many churches are compromising with the culture. They've accepted the norm as transsexualism. They've accepted the norm with gay and pride movements and all of these things. I'm here to tell you, it's sin. It will always be sin, and God will have His way. So we need to yield to that. Look at Isaiah 5:20. Here's the key right here. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter..." It's terrible, because what's happening is people are distorting what is good with what is evil. You know, I often hear people that start getting into political conversations, and then I'll jump in, I'll say, "Well, this is why I believe the things." They'll say, "Well, you must be one of those Republicans." And I said, "You think I'm political. That's all you want to say. You think I'm political. And I'm not. I'm biblical. You just don't realize it." There's a big difference. We stand in God's word, right? That's what we know is truth. I said this so many times, I'll say it again. I love to hold my Bible up and say, any good team that wins a national championship had a great coach. I've got a coach who's undefeated. He's never lost a game. I don't know who you want as a coach. If you're going to be on a winning team, I want a coach who's undefeated. That's God. Amen? Are you with me? So, again, the key here is God is still saying, return to me. What does it mean to return to God? Let's define that. Repentance means more than just regret. It means turning around. Not going 360 degrees, but 180 degrees, about face, right? Look at the book of Acts 3:19. This is a good word. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Oh, wow. I don't know about you, but that's refreshing to know that if I repent, my God is faithful. He has mercy. He has grace. My sins are blotted out. True repentance changes the direction of where we're going. We need to return to prayer. Prayer reconnects us to God's heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We see it also in the book of Ephesians 6. We talk about the armor of God. Pray in all situations. Pray without ceasing. America needs praying churches again. Thank goodness we have one. Families need prayer again. Thank you, God, that we have prayer. Communities need prayer again. I'm here to tell you, next week, when we march for Jesus, we're marching for Him, nobody else. It's not about you and I, it's all for Him. Look at Psalm 119, 105. We need to return to God's Word. It's part of the message today. If we're going to return to God, we need to first of all understand that your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, Psalm 119, 105. What a beautiful verse that is. What does that mean, Terry? That means that your Word keeps me guided. It keeps me lighted in my path, in my direction. So if I start to walk off the path, I can find it and get back on it. That's what I love about being here on a Sunday morning, is that I can stay on that path with other fellow believers. There's no place I'd rather be than right here. God has not changed His standards, my friends. When nations reject God's Word, confusion usually follows. Let me repeat that. When nations reject God's Word, confusion follows. Chaos comes out. Look at what's going on in Iran right now. Look at what's going on in the Middle East in general right now. Look at our own nation. When nations reject God's Word, confusion follows. Let's look at a scripture. 1 Peter 1:16 tells us, "Be holy, for I am holy." Okay? Be holy, for I am holy. God has not changed His standards. He hasn't changed. The church must not bend into the culture. We can't bend a knee to the culture. We're called to stand apart, to be set apart for a purpose, a holy, righteous church. We need to stand and we need to set the standard for others of what is holy and righteous. This grieves me, but every day when I'm driving down the street over by the zoo, there happens to be a house where it was a mess. It had garbage and everything. They finally got it all cleaned up. It looked really nice, and they rented it out to somebody, and then it turned into a jungle again. And the jungle is not garbage and everything there, but it's every rainbow flag you could ever imagine all over the place. There's colored stones. There's quotes. There's bumper stickers. More bumper stickers on a car than I've ever seen. Talking about gay pride and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I look at that and I go, oh, wow. I mean, do you really have to take your house and paint it all these rainbow colors every day? But yet, that's my feelings. But you know what? If I had an opportunity to walk by that house, I would probably, if I saw somebody out there, I'd go up to them and just ask them a simple thing. Do you know Jesus? Do you know God's Word? Can I share it with you? Eyes need to be opened. You know, the difference between, and I think our brother was kind of alluding to this today, the difference between so many other religions of the world is that we don't hate people and hate different denominations so much that we are commanded to kill them. No. Our God says to show love and mercy. Amen. And to walk in His truth. Before America can change, the church must awaken. We cannot expect the world to hunger for righteousness if believers compromise with sin. I think we call that hypocrites, hypocrisy. God is looking for holy churches. He's looking for bold believers. He's looking for faithful pastors. He's looking for prayer warriors. He's looking for men and women who are willing to stand for truth. The prodigal son is a picture of what I call returning. He's saying, return to me. Jesus told the story of a son who wandered far from his father. The prodigal wasted his entire inheritance and ended up broken and empty. But when he returned home, the father ran to meet him. Look at Luke 15:20. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion. The father welcomed him home. Now, his brother wasn't too happy about that, but his father welcomed him home. That is the heart of God towards repentant people. God is not looking to destroy those who return to him. He's not looking to chastise us and destroy us. He's there calling us, return to me. He is filled with grace and mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. America may have wandered far. We might be off the track right now, my friends. And maybe today is the day, but the door of mercy is still open. That hasn't shut. And that's hope. That's hope and a promise. Now there's a warning. History shows that nations rise and fall. Empires have collapsed when they abandon righteousness. If you're a historic scholar, I love to read history. You can look time and time and time and time again. When people turned away from the Word of God, it fell. And it fell with a large bang. It wasn't good. Proverbs 14:34 is a good example. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. No military strength, economic power, or political system can save a nation that rejects God. But there is hope if people repent. Some examples in history is revivals have changed nations. We had what they called the Great Awakening. Prayer revivals, spiritual renewals, and transformed communities. God can do it again. That's why he's saying, return to me. And maybe today, with the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people today that are gathered in services just like ours, we're hearing that call, return to me. And we're making that commitment because we love our God. We love our God. It's okay to love your nation, but it's more importantly that you love God. Amen. That's the key. And that's what we have to continue to focus on. So in summary today, there's some things I want to ask you. The question is not merely what is wrong with our nation or what is wrong with America, but the question is, will we return to God? Will we return to God? Will families return? Will they gather their children? Will they pray at the table? Will they take them to church, to Sunday school? Will they homeschool them or teach them if it's necessary to reinforce God's word and to teach from that? Will families return? What about the churches that have drifted from the faith, the true gospel? Will the churches return? What about leaders? Will leaders return? Will leaders return? Think about those that have been in leadership. Obviously, we start to think of the President of the United States or in Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But leaders all around the nation, when you have good, godly leaders, the people rejoice. But when you have wicked rulers, the people groan. We need righteousness. Will individuals return? The Lord still speaks through Malachi, where we started today, in Malachi 3:7. Return to me, and I will return to you. The promise still stands today. I know that some people would say, well, why did you get into this thing about America? Well, because right now it's in the news and it's on every station out there on the internet, is the rededication of what's going on today. And I thought, what a great message for us to gather together and to talk about. I want to see America succeed, but more importantly, I want to see lives transformed by the saving grace of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want to see. That's what I'm called to do. I'm called to the God's army, to go out there and preach the gospel among all the nations and to stand. You know, when you signed up, when you enlisted in the Lord's army, he didn't say it was going to be easy, but we're called to do it. I remember the famous words of Martin Luther King. He says, I have a dream. And that quote that he had, that speech that he has been taken out of context so many times. I believe Martin Luther King was a godly man. I believe that he was led by the Spirit of God, but it's been twisted so much to fill selfish desires. Here's the one thing. As we get older, we shouldn't have to worry about what other people think of us, but we should be more concerned about what God thinks of us. When he sees you sitting here in the pew today, what does he see in you? He's calling you and I. Return to me. That's the focus. Return to me. That's important. I want to read you some words there in a prayer today before we close. Lord God, we come before you humbly. In the name of Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned and drifted from your ways. Like Israel of old, we have often forgotten your commandments and trusted in worldly things instead of you. Lord, forgive us. Revive your church once again. Stir our hearts towards repentance. Restore prayer. Restore holiness, righteousness, and truth in this nation. Heal broken families. Strengthen pastors and churches. Raise up believers who will standly, boldly proclaim your word. We pray for America to return to you while mercy is still being extended. And as your word declares, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, let revival begin again with us today. Amen. Amen. I would not want to miss an opportunity if anyone today does not know Jesus, does not have a relationship and made him the Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. So with every eye closed for a moment, if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand? Anybody at all? Anybody here? Then I would trust that all of you have made that important decision. Thank you so much there for coming today and for being a part of a greater picture in God's kingdom. And the one thing that I know is he's coming back. He's coming back very, very soon. Russ, would you close us in prayer?
Yes, please.